Welcome to the Mentor Studio, where today's thought leaders and leading entrepreneurs inspire and bring real-world ideas that help you take your career to levels you've only dreamed of. Now buckle in. Here's your host, Michael Silvers.
Welcome, everyone. Jonathan Trowin here. So excited to be with my dear friend, Sean Lazan. He is a relationship coach. The words will come out of my mouth. I promise you all. He created Quantum Connecting. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Jonathan. Great to be here.
So I want to start off because relationship has lots of implications. What does the word relationship even mean to you?
Yeah, it's a great place to start. So your relationship is how one relates, how one connects, how one knows, how one appreciates really anyone. That could be yourself. That could be your family. That could be your friends. That could be your partner. That could be your lover. And when we talk about what that relationship is, it can always be deeper. It can be more that we understand the other person. And that's what I love to do, like understand oneself through emotions, through communication, through talking, through spiritual, and then help to know what that means so that you can have more closeness, you can have more intimacy. So I'm reminded back to what I thought connection was many years ago. I was raised as a software developer, Jonathan. Like I was picked out from the womb and said, you shall be a software developer. And so no, I was trained in that. And because it was a very natural thing for me, because the connection that I understood was just like mental, and it was a very safe place for me to be. And all my connections with other people were all intellectual. My dad's very intellectual. And the issue with that was that they weren't deep. I had lots of activity partners. Hey, you want to go do this together? Go do that together. And that actually, that was felt really good to have these activity partners. Because even before that in high school, I didn't have any friends. So it felt like a step up to have activity partners. And after many years of kind of growth and learning what it meant, what a friend could be, I realized there's just so much more. We can connect with our emotions. And if I have an emotional connection with someone, which I think most men, and I loved what your experience is too, Jonathan, most men don't have connections with other men that are emotional like that. We think of actions. And what I learned is how much deeper and more meaningful these relationships were. And once I discovered that, I just love to share that with other people. Answering all of your questions. We don't even have an interview. I'm going to monologue for an hour.
It's all right. I love it. I think you're right there. I think a lot of men, we've been taught away from our emotions. We've been taught, don't be sad and don't be angry. So the words that we're told, don't be afraid, right? So the emotions are in a way taught away from us, because as really young children, we feel the emotions, even if we don't know how to assign words to them. But baby boys cry. But it's funny you say that, because I was talking to my father a couple months ago, and he mentioned that he was not taught to cry, and crying was a difficult thing for him. And I don't know whether you work more with men or women, but how do you begin to create that connection between us and our emotions? Where do you start?
Yeah, I work both with men and women. In fact, what I've been looking at most recently is intimate relationships. And that I love to start with women because of really where people in intimate relationships want to have growth from. And when I've talked to women, I find they're the ones that want to expand their intimate relationship. And men in a relationship feel more content. This is not for everyone, but in general. So that's why I've been working with women in that aspect. But in general, working with men, this is what worked, what helped for me as well, is through dance, actually. And not salsa, not a dance like this, because typically that is so step one, step two, step three, step four. And eventually you learn the steps from your head and eventually you can get into the body. But that's a long way around. What I want to do is what I do is get them into their body so that they can understand emotion. So that's just putting on music. I'm almost tempted to do this right now.
Do it. What do you got? Do it.
I don't have any music on right now. I didn't think about that. But let's imagine there's music going on.
Okay. I'm imagining. I got a beat.
I've got this music and I've got actually this desk that moves so I can stand up and actually have this conversation too. So we've got music going on. And let's say I'm a guy that's like I don't know how to dance, which I didn't. I didn't think I knew how to dance. I wouldn't go to dances in high school at all because I didn't know how to dance. So I might just be like, probably I would just do the step back and forth, back and forth. But when I work with guys like this, it's just like, listen to the music. Men, women too, but men have this a little more of a struggle. And just we as humans dance. All humans dance. This is part of our biology, is to dance. And just like you wisely said, men often get that taught into it. Don't cry like a baby. Don't do this. Don't man up. What does man up mean? Be hard. And there's some truth in that. We want as men to be solid in our structure, but also being able to combine the masculine and feminine is something that's important for us to be quantum men, I guess I can say. So let's say I've got music and I'm moving and I'm just feeling it within my body. And that's it. And that may look like nothing, which is fantastic because you're not controlling in your mind. But then movement will always happen. Maybe some toe tapping and you're feeling it. And when you're feeling this in your body, the emotions will naturally arise. And that's all it is. Just feeling, you're letting your body express itself in the way that the body wants to express itself. And from that bodily sensation comes the emotions. We talked a little bit before about feeling the feeling. And that's all this is, right? Feeling the feeling that our bodies very typically, especially as men, hide because we don't want to, it doesn't feel masculine, I suppose.
Mm.
But it's human. It's human to feel our emotions. It's human to love our emotions and connect with our emotions. And so much of connecting with ourselves and others is the emotional connection. I mean, so we have these mirror neurons, right? That's all this is, connecting emotionally.
Exactly. Do we need to begin to redefine what masculinity means?
Yes and no. I am not a, you know, we need to be turn off like, I'm reminded of people in the manosphere also. Like I'm very find interest in lots of different things. And some of this is this disappointment of what toxic masculinity is. And we don't want to have toxic masculinity as well. It's from the yogic perspective, it's combining masculinity and femininity into me as a man who embodies both of those things. So I wouldn't want men to think, you know, you have to be like hairy women. We as men are men. We should be the leaders in an intimate relationship, I should say. I'm going to get in trouble for women that think that women should not be leaders. And that's completely not true. How do I want to say this? As men, it's important for us to keep our divine masculinity, but at the same time, accept things that are feminine and those combine for me as a man.
So we hear the term divine feminine a lot. We don't hear the term divine masculinity a lot. What is that?
Divine. So can we get into spiritual stuff here?
Let's get into it. What is it? Yeah, I want to know.
So I am trained from the yogic perspective. There's a Shiva and Shakti. Shiva is divine masculine. Shakti is divine feminine. And this is great, very useful for like intimate relationships as well. So the divine Shakti is movement all over the place. So you see this in like, women are crazy. Like crazy to me is beautiful. I love the craziness. I'm using this thing because it's not a derogatory term. It's just movement. It's this is interesting. This is interesting. Movement of like something arises and an emotional response occurs. And it's like, this is a woman will tell you, I hate you. I love you. All of it, which is all true in the moment. It's all the dance. As men also, we need to realize that is the beauty of women, to be in this dance. The divine Shiva is pure consciousness, is pure presence. So if I'm in my Shiva, just presence, I'm just looking at the camera right now, and there is no movement. Without Shakti, Shiva is dead. Without Shiva, Shakti is crazy. So we combine these. We combine these within ourselves. Usually there's a more masculine, more feminine is dominant, but we combine these ourselves. That, by the way, is what Hatha Yoga is. Hatha, masculine, feminine combined together. Not to be androgynous, but to have both these within ourselves. And in relationships, in male-female relationships, it's the same thing. This could be a friend. I do believe men and women can be friends together. It's going to be friend relationships. So yeah, divine masculine is number one, just presence. And ask this, be in an intimate relationship and say, what is the one thing that the female wants, the more the feminine aspect, because this also works in homosexual relationships, it's presence. It is right now taking the time. And I am right now, Jonathan, even this, I am giving you my presence right now. I am with you right now. And isn't that so much better than, hey, babe, yes, I've got this. Let me tell me what's on your mind. I'll do it at the same time. People hate that. Why do we do this? If in your intimate relationship, if your partner says, hey, I want to spend time with you, this is what the women want. Women always want attention, as Tony Robbins says, all the effing time, though he usually says different word than F. That's when women want attention. And so as men, we can sometimes have all these things to do. Like, okay, here's my attention. Here's this, split the attention. That is not how the divine masculine works. It's about presence. And right now, I give you 100% of my time. And that's a very powerful thing. If I gave one tip for guys, be present. Slow down. Be present. And give your 100% presence and attention to anyone that you're talking with right now.
Yeah, because this is really for all relationships, not just the intimate ones, right?
All relationships. If you're at like a networking thing, anything, like we could be talking with other person and scanning the room to see who the other person to talk with. No, give the person your undivided attention. This is what made Bill Clinton such a fantastic connector, is you were the only person in the room, the person he was talking to. And how great does that feel when you are the most important person in the room?
I know you've been studying the human design as well. How does this play into human design? Are they connected or are they just two separate philosophies? And I don't know a lot about human design, so I need a little education here too. In terms of those who are watching this, I might not be alone.
You for sure. Human design, let's start with where it is about in the head. So again, a lot of us are in our heads. We make decisions based on the mind. And human design is a synthesis of the Chinese I Ching and astrology and quantum mechanics. And I think there might be something else, but those are the main things. And what it says is we think our mind should be used for making decisions, and it is not. The purpose of our mind is to gather information. So like to read books, to watch movies, all of these things to get information in is what the purpose of our mind is. But our mind has hijacked our whole experience to think its job is to make decisions, and it's not. Human design is a lot of things, but the most important thing for human design is to get out of our heads for making decisions and use other parts of our body for making decisions. And that is based on your design. So there's four different designs. So there's different types: generators, manifestors, projectors, and reflectors. And I'm not going to go into the four types, but I'm talking about from the perspective of a generator. 70% of humans are generators. And so most of the people listening to this probably are generators. And a generator makes decisions. It's called the strategy based on intuition. So let's say you ask me a question, a yes, no question.
Like a factual question? Like,
do I want to do something?
Oh, do you want to go dancing?
Mm-hmm. So yes, so it's the sound the generators make. It's like, mm-hmm, that is a very fast thing. It's not where, when, it's like, does my intuition goes, aha, there's a sound with it. That's what the, about generators, aha. If there is no sound, or it's a tightening of the energy, that means my body does not want to do that right now. That is the strategy for human design. And that is the most important thing for people that practice human design, is to use their strategy to make decisions, not their intellect. It's funny. It's like everything. What in the literature? It's like, what do you want to eat? Here's the funniest thing. So there's two generators for dinner. Let's say if you're a generator, I'm not sure if you are or not. You're like, Jonathan, do you want to go to dinner? And you would say,
yeah, I do.
Okay.
But I didn't say, uh-huh. It like processed and I checked in. Yeah, I do want to go to dinner with you.
Right. Right. When you did this, you did it as you normally do, which you processed it in your head.
Right.
Right. So that from a human design perspective, and again, I don't know if you're a generator, you might be an emotional authority. So there's sacral authority. The spleen is part of it. Sacral authority is this aha. Emotional authority is you're checking in with how you feel. Like, I feel happy when I'm imagining going to dinner. So a sacral authority is the aha. So it's the sound, And right now you like felt into it because that's what like as, and that's the next step in evolution. Rather than thinking it completely, this is what we do as evolved people, right? We feel into it. A human design is like, it's immediate. It's sacral. So to determine what your human design is, it actually goes through your birth date, birth time, and birth location. So I should have just done this beforehand, before the talk.
Yeah, now I want to give you all my info and go, well, what am I? You're saying, so it's predetermined. It's not based on how I am, but based on where everything aligns, that's what I am.
It's exactly right. Where at a certain point, the energies of the neutrinos coming from the center of the solar system came through and imprinted us. That's what it's called. Imprinted on us our unique human design.
Getting back to relationships, is it important or beneficial to know the human design of, and not that you got to know the human design of someone you meet just in this moment, but if you're having a longer term relationship, either a romantic partner or a business partner, is it beneficial to know their human design? Would you react differently and respond differently to them?
Yes. In this example of something as simple as going to dinner, if I, as a generator, I am meant to respond. Okay, so I might say, ask you, this is kind of a silly example, but I might ask you if you want to go to dinner. But I don't really know if I want to go to dinner unless someone asks me. So what you would do then, if we knew we were generators, you would then ask me, hey, Sean, do you want to go to dinner? And I might be,
I hear those words, right? Reflector was one of them. Isn't that then more of a reflector? Or am I making that up? Or the words, do I just not understand this?
You're making that up.
All right.
But the words, we use words for, like, we think that they mean something in this specific context. The vocabulary can be like, generator doesn't sound like I'm supposed to respond. So generator is there because generators are the builders of society. We can go and go and go and go and go and go and really never get tired as long as we follow our strategy. So many generators, and this happened to me, like, get into a job because I say yes is what I'm supposed to do. And then we get burnt out because we haven't followed our strategy. And this is what's important really for everyone, for especially generators, or like for all human design, is to follow your strategy so that you don't get burnt out. Because here's how this whole thing works. And here's the philosophy of it all. We're all here to work together. We're all here to work together to show our unique skills. And this type is just the first four things. It goes very, very, very deep. Like, there's gates that are activated all the time. And when two people come together, they activate certain channels, which creates a third being. There's you and me and us. And so what human design teaches us is that we're all here to work together in different ways. How you show up in the world is supposed to be very different than I show up in the world. And even more than just how we were educated, how we were socialized, like, at our core essence, how you are meant to create beauty in this world is different than me.
So that's really powerful, especially if we bring this back to relationships, just that information, because when we're in relationships, we want the other person to show up in the world like we are. We want them to want to do the things that we want to do, to think the same way that we think, to have the same solutions that we have. But what you're highlighting is really important. No, we're all supposed to show up differently. And if we can just begin to understand that and honor the other person for showing up differently instead of trying to convince them of our way, I think we'd all be a little bit more peaceful.
Yeah.
There's not a question 100%. In there, really, but that's what I'm getting from this.
It's exactly that. And I love that you said the word peace and peaceful, because there is peace. What I have discovered is that in my relationship, so this, I did a little video on this. I think I posted on TikTok or Instagram, I don't remember. And it was my relationship with others. In my design, if I talk and I'm not meant to talk at that point, people won't even notice me. And this is in my design. So sometimes that happens. And I would be used to be, oh, why am I? No one sees me. I'm just unseen. I like start beating myself up. And I realize, no, now that's just part of my design. This has nothing to do with people liking me or not liking me. What it means is the right time for me to talk is not all the time. Mm. Like some people are great orators and they're meant to talk frequently. It's like I've got a throat chakra. My throat chakra is open. There's closed, there's defined and undefined. And open, undefined is a positive and negative. I can do acting very well. Like I can take what other people hear, their accents. I'm good at languages. This is part of my design. But what's not part of my design is to, I don't want to say want to be a good speaker. I'm still working on this, figuring out what's the best way of actualizing some of these things, like a closed chakra, closed throat versus open throat chakra. So I don't want to get into that actually. What was I saying? See, another open throat chakra is kind of going around and not being very direct of here's what I want to say and here's how to say it. Step one, step two, step three.
You know, watching, I want to highlight, like, these are relationships. Everyone thinks that these are supposed to be, these don't get edited, right? We edit it and we get the perfection out of it. And then we get a bunch of highlights. But real connection is kind of figured out as you're going through it. And I opened up, I stumbled on my words. We have to, in our minds, get beyond what we think is supposed to be the perfection of speech, about explaining, and even about what relationships are. Because it's not this edited 3-minute thing.
I love that. Yes, because what it says is also we are attracted to our opposites. We know this, and attracted from an intimate relationship and from just two people that connect with each other. Let's say the amount I want to talk, it can go from a 1 to a 10. And let's say I am a 7. If I try to talk and have a relationship with someone else that's a 7, we're going to be like stumbling at each other all the time. We're going to be like trying to talk to each other. Oh, how come this person doesn't listen to me? Well, because we're designed differently. And there's beauty in the specific way that I'm designed, the beauty in the specific way you're designed. And I may not resonate with everyone, but I'll resonate with the people that I resonate with.
So it sounds like there's a lot of information we need to get before we really get into a relationship. How often do you want to talk? How often does the other person want to talk? So there's a lot of info here. All right, let's say I need your help, right? We're in a relationship. Where's the starting point? Because we went over the divine feminine, the divine masculine, and the Hatha part of the world, human design, how much we need to speak. Where's the starting point for us?
If we're in an existing relationship?
Yeah, well, if I called you up and said, okay, Sean, yeah, I'm in a relationship. I need some help. Where would you look first? Or where would you advise first? One or the other?
Well, obviously, the first thing is to just get to know what's really going on and what are the things, what do you want out of your relationship and what are the struggles? And the first thing in an intimate relationship, often when I talk with men and women, it's like this polarity, the masculine and the feminine, because we in society now are a bit homogenizing. It's like, here's how people should be. Like, gender is a construct. Gender is a construct, and so we should kind of all be similar. We should all be emotional. We should all be, and there's truth in that. We should learn to definitely emotion. We should be more connected with the emotion. But we want to, in an intimate relationship, let's start from there, emphasize our differences. I just started reading a Sir Perel book. Oh, I love it. Who's like a fantastic psychotherapist. Mm-hmm. And we combine. Let me stay on track to the question. In eroticism, as she would say, I would say the passion is in the differences. And so if we want to have a passionate relationship, we want to accentuate polarity differences. That meant men being more masculine and women being more feminine. So women go off to work and often because they live in a co-lang of a man's world. I hope I don't get in trouble for that. But in a world that rewards masculine driving forward, and women get into this, which is great because they're being successful in the way that is the way to work. I am not a business coach. So if there's a different way of being successful as a woman, that's awesome too. I'm not saying this is the way that one should show up as in the business world. What I am saying is that often women show up in business as masculinity. And then when it comes home, they wonder, how come this isn't working? And so the solution to this, if you are coming to me, you might be saying, hey, I feel emasculated. My wife comes over and I can't do anything to make her happy. It's lead. Be it present for a man, be in presence and lead. How I would say, when's the last time you took her out on a date? Like you actually planned the date, said, we're going to do this. I don't want you to do anything and just allow her to relax. I just talked to someone at, and he's like, oh, I don't know. It's been how many tens, like a decade or so. Like if you haven't taken your wife out on a date in years that you didn't plan at all, you're not leading. Then you're expecting her to lead. And when you're expecting her to lead, she is stepping into her masculine, which she is totally capable of doing. But ask most women and say, hey, what would you want? Do you want to plan the date yourself or do you want him to take care of it? If you trust that he can do it well. And I'm sure the majority of women say, oh, I can just like relax. Yes. So that's what I would recommend. Like, take her out on a date.
I got
it. Go out on a date.
Honey, if you're watching, we got a date coming up and you can thank Sean, but thank me too. A couple more questions.
Yeah.
One, how do you define success for yourself?
For me, success is a feeling of when I'm seeing my impact in other people. Like if I had a successful day, I have talked with people, I've connected with them emotionally, and I have provided some value for them. That's what success is. It's a broad term. Like if I think of a successful day is I accomplished something. Successful interaction with my partner would be just we're enjoying each other's company. Oh, there isn't any sort of objective goal. I guess I'd wonder what I'd ask more deeply in what context, because that's success to me only makes sense within a specific context.
Well, when you started the answer, I found it interesting because you said success is a feeling. And then you went on to explain pieces of it. But I'm really curious, what is that feeling? How do you know that this feeling means I feel a word we're putting on that feeling, successful? So what is that feeling?
So success for me is that it was a time well spent. And a time well spent depends on the context. So a time well spent in my business is that I made some amount of money. A time well spent in emotion relationship is, man, I had my needs met. And that might be like from a Tony Robbins perspective, what are my six human needs that are met? What are my top human needs? And my top human needs are like love, contribution, and growth. So success in, this is like really good in intimate relationships too. And now I reflected, like, what does it mean to be successful with my partner? Man, it might be that I just feel more in love with her. That's success. And that is just, that's a feeling.
It's a feeling. Yeah.
Even if I'm driven by how much money I made, like, oh, I put it on my wall. I'm going to make this much money from this. And by the way, there's also something really good for human design. Like there's manifestors and non-specific manifestors. The thinking grow rich, think something specifically and make that happen is a manifestor thing, not a generator. So this is a whole other thing that I don't think we have time for.
But that'll be the next conversation. We'll dig into that.
If I saw one thing, just because you're not a manifestor does not mean you can't manifest. There's a different way of manifest, which thank that's you, Jenna good. Zoe, who's the genius that opened this up to me, does my human design. Anyway, my human design is her brand.
All right, one last question.
Okay.
What does self-love mean to you?
Self-love is I accept me as who I am right now. There is no need for change. There is no need for growth, actually. There's just me who I am right now. And I say, Sean, I love you. And I can think of reasons and evidence for that, but it's all irrelevant because that's self-love. Self-love, where I am, who I am right now is who I love. And from that point of that self-love, from there, that's where the growth occurs. Because I love and accept myself with 100%. And then like, oh, I love myself. Shouldn't other people want to love me? Some people will and some people won't, but it doesn't really matter because I love myself. It's a revolution, right?
I love it. Beautiful. Sean, thank you so much for being here today. I learned a ton. We need to talk more. I got to research more. I got a lot to learn, but thank you so much.
Yeah, make sure to send me all that information. I'll send you a thing offline.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was really my pleasure. I'm glad that we went to all these different things. I feel like we could talk for another hour.
Easily. And we will. All right. We'll see everybody next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
We're honored that you invested time with us today at the Mentor Studio. Now, don't be greedy. Share this knowledge bomb with all your dope peeps on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Actually, we'll even pay you to do it. To get the deets, please check out thementorstudio.com.